7 o'clock, so I will now call this regular session of council to order this day, Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Roll call, please.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Terry Meek.
Here.
Greg McMaster. Absent.
He is absent.
Chris Shea.
Here.
Okay, would you please stand and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Remain standing for the pledge. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome. So, let's move on now to approval of council minutes from the regular session of April 7, 2026. Any comments or corrections? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None for myself. All right. May I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Minutes have been approved as presented. Any pending old business? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None for myself. Anyone? Correspondence this evening?
We have none.
Any visitors that wish to address council this evening? If you would, come up here to the podium. Please state your name and your topic.
My name is Robert Rigsby. I'm a realtor with Russell Real Estate Services, and the topic is the Lime Coal property. In Clyde, the 160 acres. I have a client that has written a contract in September, October with some requirements, questions that he needed answered, most of which have been answered. The biggest, the only two items that are left hanging out is he wanted to know how much a load study would cost, and how long it would take, approximately, nothing to pin anybody down on, and he's willing to pay for it. He would need one from AEP as well as from Clyde. And I've not been able to get those answers, so I'm here to ask, what do I need to do to get the answers?
Okay. It's my understanding, with talking to our city manager, that that issue was addressed. So, Justin, I'll let you...
Well, if I may, before Justin goes into it, the load study that was furnished by the city, I thought was perfect, except it was only for AEP, but it's also 3 years old. He's asking to, and he's willing to pay for a more current one, if and when he needs it. He just wants to know a time frame, which I think, Justin, you said in the first one it was 120 days approximately.
That was not for large loads. Large load studies appear to be. They have no definitive timeline. As our consultants have let us know as well, it'll be months before they'd even be able to get to it.
Okay.
So I have no numbers. I really, truly have nothing and no timeline. AEP's got a backlog of large load requests. It'll probably be 18 months.
Okay. Did they give you any idea what it would cost?
$100,000 for AEP's side.
And for Clyde?
I don't have any numbers, but probably roughly...
About the same?
I would guess somewhere in this...
Your time frame would be about 180 days as well?
No. AP, once they have it processed through their queue, which could be months, takes 120 days. Ours would be, we don't know. But months.
I'm just going to... Can I get that in writing so I can send it to the guy and either... have him purchase the property or walk away, one of the two. That's all he wants to know. And if I can give that to him, then he can make up his mind. And,
sure.
And I have to explain, he is from New York. He's scared to death of cities. and rightfully so. New York would be scary to try to operate in. Things change constantly, and their rules and regulations are 200%, if not more, restrictive than what we have in Ohio. So he's nervous. He's never dealt with what he's calling a country city. And it's difficult for people that are not from Ohio because we're a very, how can I say, user-friendly state. We're New York. If you've ever done anything in New York, it's scary. So if I could get that in writing, that'll solve the problem.
Okay. So you just basically want me to tell him, no, it'll be months.
No, just tell him it will take several months. Once it's paid for, I would assume you'd want the money up front, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And he's willing to pay for it. He's put that in writing.
Okay.
Right?
I'll put in there that it's roughly estimated around $10 million for the infrastructure upgrades he would need.
We don't need that. He's not asking for that.
So I shouldn't put that in there?
No.
Okay.
No, he's asking just for time and dollar amount for the load study.
Okay.
And I think somewhere I saw the original load study took 120 days.
Yes, back before all the large load requests have essentially
come in.
Yeah, and caused AP to initiate a large load tariff and all of those things.
Okay. And then I have one other thing. The Limecoal family also has two parcels of property. I think Justin and I went out and looked at them. They asked me to see if Consul would be receptive to annexing those properties to the city.
What's the acreage on those parcels? I can look.
I think one is 25 and the other one is 30. Is that close, Justin, to what it was?
South of 175.
Yes.
South of Ridge, yeah.
Yeah, it's straight down 260, essentially.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Justin and I went out and looked at it a couple years ago, and I think that it would work well. I think you could do single-family homes there very easily.
Where are we at here? Okay.
So you have 35 acres and 28 acres.
Is it two separate parcels? Or
it is. One on each side of the street, and I think Justin told me that it was two different townships.
It's two different townships that I, just looking cursory online, I think it's listed as one parcel of 63 acres. But that could just be a deeding issue.
There's two.
It's separated by...
It's separated by the road.
Separated by the road,
by 260.
Right. 63 acres total, though, between the two.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. The auditor has it as one.
Oh, I'm showing two.
Yeah.
Okay. Aside from that, you mentioned, well, I think the word scary or something like that. So
yeah,
there's something scary for me is 160 acres from a developer that we don't know what the intent for that property, and that's annexed to us, but what the intent for that property is.
160 acres.
That, to me, is a little bit scary. So.
One of the tenants that he's looking at bringing in is the electric battery manufacturer similar to the Honda LG plant in Fayette County. And they employ somewhere between 250 and 500 employees, he said.
Okay.
That's the first building. He is an entrepreneur who builds buildings, leases them, but he builds industrial buildings. Tom Kern built logistic buildings and storage buildings. This guy's going to bring employees to the area.
So that's one potential.
That's one potential. He had something else that I told him wouldn't fly, and it's, Justin, you probably know more about this than I do, a colo, whatever that is.
Co-located data centers.
Okay, and I don't know anything about data centers. I just know they're taboo across the country. Nobody wants them because they're big buildings, they suck up a lot of energy, and there's no employment. Mm-hmm. And I told him that wasn't going to fly, and he put on the bottom of the letter that I sent to Justin that if they don't want that, I will work with them to bring in whatever the city would like. And he maintains ownership of the buildings. He just leases them to industry. And I told him about the Evergreen building that was going to be in bankruptcy. He said, call me when you know when it's going to go up for sale. So he might be interested in buying that as well. He owns buildings in several different states.
Okay.
And his engineer I spoke with said he is a straight shooter. He doesn't play any games. If a city says they don't want something, he'll go get something else to bring in.
Okay. Any questions for anyone? Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address council?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. And I appreciate it.
John Lenthy, 1286 Burkholder Road. We're the one that have the dirt bike track. I got a signed affidavit from all the surrounding neighbors that are within 300 foot. I submitted them to Justin.
Yep. I have full signed petition from John, 18 people roughly.
Yep.
Give or take. Yep.
So where we're at right now is pretty much one person. So my sons want to use it as a practice track because they are going to race down at SVR, that is Sandusky Valley Riders, and it's just strictly for my sons to practice on. I wrote up an affidavit of all the people, and they were all okay with it. We gave certain hours, no church times. When they have a funeral over at McPherson, they shut them down, nothing like that. Holidays, and it's only a couple hours a week. There was another thing about dust. We're not the only ones that provide dust. There is naturally sunrise, and the wind primarily comes out of the southwest, so anybody that gets it is across the street, which they also have signed and are okay with it. I was just wanting to know if we can kibosh this and so my sons can get back to being kids. And we've pretty much solved everything around all the criteria that's been complained about.
And I'll just jump in and say, we kind of, when I'd asked John to do this before, because it was a little, you know, out of, we've let neighborhoods almost self-regulate themselves to a certain degree. We do it on some other subdivisions. Parking is usually the main one that if they can't get along. We'll come down and paint and sign everything, and or you can get along. So this is akin to kind of how we inside the administration kind of handle that stuff. And I mean, we have 18. It'd be the similar to any zoning, rezoning. We send out a letter 200 to 300 feet, and you see what kind of feedback you get. And I mean, we have a pretty decent amount of positive feedback on this one.
And to let you know, my son did all the footwork. He was the one that was really amped about this. And like I said, I tried going by all the complaints that were amended or whatnot, but it was pretty much from one individual. But we, like I said, we went around the neighborhood and asked and knocked on doors, and he presented it and they signed.
So, and I'll say that our position before was essentially that we didn't feel that it violated any zoning.
Correct.
We felt that the only issue would have been basically a noise issue based on time you're doing it, that
correct.
We felt that you'd have potential zoning issues for nuisance type stuff. If it, you know, if you're out there running at 2 a.m., obviously it's an issue.
Yes.
I don't think the city has ever explicitly said, like, you're done, shut this down. We've said, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know the police talk to you. I've never actually talked to you.
Quite a few times.
But that they're responding to complaints from one person who's been up here before and talked to us. I think before Mr. Browning was on, but the rest of council is the same. So, yeah, I mean, from a city standpoint, if it's an hours of use thing and a noise thing, then, again, decibel-wise, it's less than lawnmowers. I mean, I think it would have a similar regulation there. So it might be frustrating. I'm sorry. I got to do my job here. But I would say I also would advise the city that we're not going to bless it to happen, because that infers that we've stopped it from happening and we're telling you, yeah, go ahead. I can tell you that from the city standpoint, we don't think you're violating any of our zoning laws.
Okay.
And that's kind of the best I can do for you.
So on my part, like I said, with the police showing up. I don't want to get ticketed for my kids being kids.
Well, this is when I'll work with the police chief.
Yeah.
To,
and like I said, we've had sign after we gave them times and days that we would not ride. Excuse me. And like I said, we've worked with the neighbors. A lot of them are actually kind of upset
they've,
that we're
they've been
not.
Mr. Lenthy, when we've approached, everybody's been very, and you guys have not done it out of kindness while you gathered signatures to even get a neighborhood perspective. I mean, we asked, all right, hey, how can we just make sure everybody's all right? And they went around and did the legwork to make sure everybody was all right. And I think that, you know, with respecting times and everything like that, we should have a decent thing moving forward.
All right. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening? First reading of ordinance this evening, of which we have none. Second reading of ordinance this evening, which is ordinance 2026-30, quite lengthy. So due to the length of this ordinance, I will poll council to have the second reading by title only. This action is authorized by Section 4-3 of the Charter and will require an affirmative vote of a majority plus one. So by a poll of council, do you wish to have the Ordinance 2026-31 by title only? Mrs. Meek.
Title only.
Mr. Browning.
Title only.
Mr. Shea.
Title only.
And title only for myself. So would you please give the second reading of Ordinance 2026-31 by title only?
And I apologize.
3-0. My mistake.
I apologize to Janet. I was traveling with family, so I know you had to read a lot last
by
time.
By design.
Yeah.
It was by
it was,
design.
There were airplane tickets. It was scheduled for months. We were seeing the in-laws out west. So ordinance number 2026-30, adopting and implementing the Residential Code of Ohio for 1, 2, and 3-family dwellings within the City of Clyde, amending Part 13, Building Code, of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde by deleting existing Chapter 1303 and creating new Chapter 1301, Building Department.
Okay, Ordinance 2026-30 has been read by title only. Additional comments on this, Mr. LeBan?
Hopefully everybody got their large multiple page analysis and read it thoroughly front to back multiple times. Yes. I apologize. I just want to make sure it was thorough. Again, this just sets forth the building department to do it. We still have another step to go, which would be discussing fees, contract, a bunch of other stuff. This doesn't go to the state. We're just kind of making sure the whole package would go to the state for adoption. I'm not going to send it just upon passage. At least this part is done. We can then get into the nooks and crannies and the items that we need to address in another either work session or bring it to council, set a work session from there, and kind of get into all the different aspects of what we're looking to do. That's all I have.
Comments, Mrs. Meek?
I did read that, actually, Justin.
I knew you
would. And I've also been doing lots of legwork on my own. I've talked to several contractors. I've talked to people within the city of Fremont. I've talked to fire chiefs in a couple different entities around the neighboring cities. At some point in time, I think the onus needs to be put on the homeowner as to who they choose to have do work within their home. That's from several of the people I've spoke with, that's one of the things that, you know, we can have all these people with all of these licenses that they need, but they can still do very bad work, and even after inspection, that work still might not be bad. One thing that I know was stressed to me was the concern of firefighters. I talked to 3 fire chiefs, and all of whom said the least amount of fires that they respond to are electrical fires. The number one is cooking fires. So they said, actually, instead of a building code, we should teach people how to cook on a stove, quote, unquote. A lot of the people that work directly with people already doing these codes stated that they field a lot of phone calls of complaints because they don't get the inspections done in a timely manner, and it holds up a lot of the service. And a couple of our contractors, local contractors here, have stated to me that if they have to choose between a resident of Fremont or a resident of Clyde having a residential code and a non-residential code, they're probably going to go to that person in Fremont, even though they know that they're doing the same job for both homeowners. So that was kind of a little bit of the feedback that I got across the board. So just wanted to share, I've done my legwork and really studied this drastically. So.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Browning.
I, too, have read the documents, made some, you know, questions of myself. But I think when it comes down to it, exactly what you brought out, I mean, if this does pass tonight, I think a working session is definitely in need. I mean, and actually put out there that, you know, you're going to have individuals come to the working session and ask real questions, the contractors in the area. Because I know we keep saying this, but, I mean, if no one really shows up, then it's just all hearsay. I mean, I want contractors or individuals to come here and have these conversations with us face-to-face as opposed to, oh, you know, someone talked to somebody and someone else talked to somebody. So having that open conversation, fluid conversation, I think would be needed too. That's just my two cents.
Thank you. Mr. Shea.
As many know, I work in a local hardware store here, and I have the opportunity to speak with many contractors. Some of them are in-depth business. They have an extensive business with many employees. And then there's other contractors that are just single person, self-employed, and more like a handyman kind of operation. And quite honestly, all the ones I've talked to about this subject, my experience, although maybe different from someone else's, is honestly about 50-50. I got 50% of the contractors are in favor of it. They said it will help their business. It'll weed out the less scrupulous contractors or handymen that constantly underbid them. And I've also talked to others that say that this is probably going to hurt people trying to do improvements on their house. It is a tough decision because it seems like it's a 50-50 issue. Overall, though, I got to imagine that this is a good safeguard, good guardrails for homeowners, especially homeowners that might be like the elderly, people who are disenfranchised. People who might be easy targets to be taken advantage of. I believe that this will help protect them a little bit more and also give them a little bit of protection if something was to go wrong. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for the wonderful weekend read. I should have bought stock and highlighters a long time ago. This really helped to shore up some questions and some misconceptions that I had. So questions were answered, but yet more questions evolved as I went through that. I feel the necessity for it. I feel for the people who have to live in some deplorable situations in this town. Not by choice of their own. It's because they have to. Perhaps in the future this could protect that. And what I mean by that is housing is scarce. Decent housing is even more scarce. But forcing people to live under some of these conditions because this town is being bought up by investors. Not all of them are local. Not all of them care about Clyde. Think about investors, which is going on throughout our country, as corporate investors moving in, buying up properties in communities, of which they have absolutely no tie to other than monetarily. So they would have no conscience, perhaps, for what conditions people have to live in. That's just one of the many facets of all of this. What particularly stuck out to me was the comparison of communities that have it, how successful it was or was not the reasons why it was successful, the reasons why it was not. If this is adopted, and I feel that it could be, I agree with Mr. Browning that we have to spend time and we have to be intelligent about how we roll this out, sequentially rolling it out, involving more people for their opinions on it. You can't just all of a sudden, okay, this is law and we're going to do it. It'll fail, and it'll fail miserably. So again, the implementation of it, and I alluded to that the last meeting, the implementation of it is equally as important as the document or as the ordinance itself. So a particular sensitivity to different areas, hopefully that will be addressed. For federal housing, state housing grants, such as Welcome Home Ohio, different types of developers coming in, we're going to need something like this to shore up those grants or to even qualify for them. One of my concerns is that somebody could buy 63 acres, it's annexed, and be able to come in and put multi-level housing in with absolutely no code whatsoever. That's a drain on your city's resources, your police, your fire, your utilities, all of those. So there's no protection for that. I'll bring up York Township. York Township is now stuck with three major turbines coming in, wind turbines coming in, because they had no ordinance, they had no zoning. We don't have a viable building code. So if somebody wants to buy 65 acres, they want to buy 130 acres, and they want to put up multi-level housing and build them whatever they want, aesthetically, whatever they want. We have no say in that. Not to mention the safety of it. I think we have to have a particular sensitivity to primary homeowners. So lots of discussion on that.
I'll add that I've been licensed for what will be 14 years this fall, and we're a general practice firm. We get all kinds of consultations, some we wish we didn't get, and people come to us with all kinds of problems. And the amount of people making complaints based coming in to get consultations because they're unhappy with construction work they had done, whether it's a pole barn or a bathroom remodel or what have you, the amount of those that we get now is tenfold of what we got 5 or 6 years ago. And what happened, in my opinion, is when there isn't a lot of that type of work out there, then the people who don't do good work struggle and they go out of business. But there's so much work right now that if people start their own handyman service, start a remodeling service, what have you, they can get work. And even if they do a bad job, they get bashed on Facebook. There's still so much work out there, they get the next 5-10 jobs. So when the market is like that, you say that, you know, there's this sense that the free market will fix a lot of things, and I'm a believer in market forces, but that's based on the people who are bad at it going out of business. Right now there's so much work that the market isn't regulating the bad ones out of business, so this is a safeguard against that. And as an attorney, I know a lot of attorneys, because we have to make that claim based on whether or not it was done to a workmanlike standard, which is a vague term a bunch of lawyers in Columbus invented, and a bunch of lawyers have to decide what it means. And it is going to be handy as an attorney if someone pays $5,000 for a bathroom remodel and it's done terribly, to be able to say, oh, they violated the code based on reasons A, B, C, and D, and that's more clear cut. So as someone who does some of this work, it's not going to break my heart to see this. And my construction company clients I represent, I have some, they're not worried because the ones I represent tend to be pretty good ones. And a lot of them aren't real intimidated by this because they were already following these codes. They were already bonded, licensed. So this is going to hopefully raise the standard of the lowest level of company versus be a huge cost on the high-level companies.
Thank you. Adding a little bit to that, Mr. McCulley, we did the Housing Task Force meeting last week. As I got into the conversation, a lot of it involved how do we make sure these are built right? Because we had problems with this one subdivision and other things. And as we walked them through the path of, wouldn't it be nice to have, I don't know, an inspection of some sort? You know, everybody then stares at each other like idiots for a while. But, I mean, you just heard a guy that wants to annex a bunch of property to do a subdivision. You've got other people, and I mean, I have at least six examples that Jared and I have documented just in the last 3 weeks of people calling where, hey, this is, you know, where the tenant did get booted out of a house where the landlord told him to do some electric work. He did it wrong. Then found out that even, you know, the breaker didn't trip properly, so there was like a compounding issue of things. We found black mold in bathroom remodels over because they had no vents in them over on Woodland. I mean, we've got a ton of examples, like Zach said, we're just getting inundated with calls of what can we do. I mean, developers is one thing, and the contractors, I'm like, that's great. The good ones that I know tell me, you know, we don't build here because we can't compete. There's no money in it. I mean, I get their points, but I get far more calls from upset people living in different conditions and having people, just like Zach said, that outweigh the developer concerns that I've seen. I mean, raising the bottom bar is what you hired me for as well.
Mr. Shea, you would remember because we were the only two sitting when we interviewed for new city manager. And Justin presented us in his interview his vision of where he wanted to take this city. And in order to do that, it has to be sequential. There has to be tools in the toolbox that we can use to change the way things have been done, to be able to move forward. If we don't move forward, we're either standing still or we're falling backwards. You know, times have changed. And in order for us to, I'm not saying we're going to reinvent this city, you know, but one of my reasonings for running for this council was to try to make it better, because I think we can. We can do better. And in order to do better, we have to have the tools to legally operate better. And I find this as one of those tools. Do I have problems with some of it? Absolutely. I expressed that 2 weeks ago, that I have no faith in SafeBuilt. And okay, they're going to have to clean up their act, and they have to prove it to me. But that decision down the road is not really mine. But right now, I have no faith in them. So they're not the only game in town, but they have to prove it to me. Actually, we have to put this in place before that can even happen.
I should also add one of those parts in the report was this is a 20 to 30-year investment before you really truly see, you know, what those benefits really look like and things are really brought up and that bar shows. We'll all be gone, most likely, in some context. Off the job, maybe Zach's still here, I don't know. I'm going to be retired. Zach might be here. But the majority of us will not be in these jobs or these roles.
You mean
in like
Cody and Aaron are... Okay.
I mean, Cody, are you going to be on council 20 years from now?
No.
Right, I'm just guessing. I'm just saying. Aaron might still be here. So, well, I guess you'll be here. Bill Brown will definitely be here.
With a smile.
There's always meetings to be had. So that is, I mean, that's one of the things. Like, starting now, we probably won't be in some of these positions to see, you know, how this goes.
Will there be any more discussion from anyone? Yes, sir.
I guess I would just say that, you know, in these kind of situations, talking about what you're talking about now, is when you do go forward, that who's going to make sure that it gets taken care of in the future? And that's a problem that I've seen over the years, is something is said here, but it's never followed up. Nobody ever follows up on anything. And so then we find ourselves in a bad spot down the road, and that it causes issues. So I guess that's...
How could that be taken care of, Bill? I mean, what give me an example or something, and how do we guard against that?
I I'm not 100% sure how to do that, but I guess administratively, we have to make sure that everything is being followed up the way that it's supposed to. You can't let things fall through the cracks and stuff. It has to be followed up on.
Okay.
And it has to be done, completed, and making sure that everybody who's in the chain is accountable to that and getting it done, doing what they're supposed to do in a timely manner.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? Then may I have a motion to adopt ordinance 2026-30.
So moved.
I will second it. Motion by Mr. Browning, and I will second it. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
No.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. Ordinance 2026-30 has been adopted. Moving on to the second reading of Ordinance 2026-31, and due to its length, we will not need to alter that. Okay.
Yep. Ordinance number 2026-31, creating Chapter 907, Driveways, Driveway Approaches, and Curb Cuts of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde. Be ordained by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, Chapter 907, Driveways, Driveway Approaches, and Curb Cuts of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, is hereby created as shown in the attached Exhibit A.
All right, you've heard the second reading of Ordinance 2026-31. Comments?
Not really, just setting standards for what that says.
Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None for me. Anyone else? May I have a motion to adopt Ordinance 2026-31?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Ordinance 2026-31 has been adopted. Moving on to resolutions this evening. So would you please assign a number and give the reading of the first resolution.
Resolution number 2026-35, declaring a 2015 Ford Explorer Interceptor as surplus property not needed for municipal purposes and authorizing its transfer to the North Baltimore Police Department for nominal consideration. Whereas Section 2-1 of the City Charter provides that the city may sell, lease, mortgage, hold, manage, and control property as its interest may require, and the city possesses broad home rule authority under Article XVIII, which is 18 in Roman numerals, I believe, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution, and whereas Ohio Revised Code Section 721.15 governs the disposition of municipal personal property no longer needed for public use, and the City Council, as the legislative authority of the city, is authorized to direct the disposition of surplus municipal property, and whereas the City Council finds that it is in the best interest of the city and serves the public purpose to transfer a surplus vehicle to the North Baltimore Police Department, and that such transfer is consistent with the city's authority and the intent of applicable law. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. The City Council hereby finds and declares that a 2015 Ford Explorer Interceptor, VIN number 1FM5K8AR7FGC67045, formerly assigned to the Clyde Police Department, the vehicle is a surplus personal property of the City of Clyde that is no longer needed for municipal purposes within the meaning of the Ohio Revised Code, Section 721.15. Section 2, this council hereby authorizes and directs the city manager to transfer title to the vehicle to the North Baltimore Police Department for a nominal consideration of $1 and to execute any and all documents necessary to effectuate the transfer of the vehicle. Section 4, the transfer shall be made on an as-is-where-is basis without warranty of any kind, expressed or implied as to condition, fitness, or merchantability of the vehicle. The North Baltimore Police Department shall be responsible for all costs associated with the transfer, including but not limited to title transfer fees, registration fees, and transportation costs.
All right. You've heard the reading of this resolution. Comments?
We're not sure this is actually going to go down the road, but they want it. That's kind of why we usually sometimes part with this on gov deals. But even then, we felt bad if somebody actually paid real money for it. So they wanted it. So there you go.
Oh, they're getting it. Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
Is it just not in working order?
I mean, it runs. I'm not going to take it on a trip out of town, but it runs.
Can I do that?
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
Why do we want to pay insurance and upkeep on it? Time for somebody else. So.
Well, I didn't want to run afoul of a lemon law or something if we actually sold it for real money either. That Monty being a mechanic in his past was like, but they still wanted it, knowing all that.
Okay. Any other comments from anyone? All right. May I have a motion to adopt 2026-35?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Resolution 2026-35 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-36, requesting the Sandusky County Commissioners take action to adjust the boundary lines of Green Creek Township for the exclusion of recently annexed parcels. Whereas the Ohio Revised Code requires this council to take action requesting the Sandusky County Commissioners adjust the boundary lines of Green Creek Township to allow recently annexed parcels to be excluded from Green Creek Township, and whereas these actions taken by this council and eventually the Sandusky County Commissioners will create a clean and accurate map of Green Creek Township as well as simplify the work needed by the Sandusky County Auditor, now therefore be it resolved by the Council City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, this council hereby formally requests that the Sandusky County Commissioners take action to adjust the boundary lines of Green Creek Township for the exclusion of the previously annexed parcels. Parcel ID number 06220000062 and parcel ID number 06220000062 03.
Okay, comments on this resolution, Mr. LeBen.
This is a bit of a formality we had to do last time to get them to redraw the map and reassign new city PIN numbers. They've handled it before based on just the annexation legislation, but then the last time we did it, they requested something like this. So this is for the Bill Shear and Matt and Katja Soper out on Maple Street that we just passed the annexation for.
Mrs. Meek?
I have nothing.
Mr. Browning?
I have nothing.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
Nothing for myself. Anyone else? May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-36?
So moved.
I will second that. Moved by Mr. Shea, second by myself. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-36 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-37, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with CDWG for the purchase of Verkada cameras. Be resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. The city manager is hereby authorized and directed to enter into an agreement with CDWG for the purchase of Verkada cameras in the amount of $68,265.22 as per the attached quote. Section 2, that the expenditure of funds be in the same is hereby appropriated and authorized to be expended from the IT fund.
Okay, Resolution 2026-37 has been read. Comments?
Now remember that Mr. Humberger can be just as long-winded as Mr. Chambers was. So be careful with your questions.
Hard to get to. But you know, we already have a sizable Verkada deployment. My predecessor, Will, rolled that out here. Well, he purchased some. I was able to get a big majority of them already rolled out last summer, where I'm ahead of the schedule that he had laid out. So I came in my budget proposal at the end of 2025. I asked for money to possibly expand our coverage of cameras. Then I had asked for cover general services, wastewater treatment plant, and the water treatment plant. I added in Fire Station 2, and I still come in around what I had asked for at our budget proposal meeting. Fire Station 2 cameras would extend coverage over to the food pantry and EMS building as well. You know, we're able to get a lot more cameras, 19 units. There's no continued payments down the road for 10 years. It comes with 10-year licensing. I managed to get some more access control units in there, door readers, card readers. That's about all I got.
I will say this is a big part of our push, if you ever read George Orwell's 1984, is to help us get there.
Mr. Meek, any questions?
Nope, I have none.
Mr. Browning?
No.
Mr. Shea?
Anytime we can add to the security of this town, I'm all for it. Thanks for the work that you do. That's all I have. Thank you.
The existing cameras, from what I know about them, things are working quite well. 10-year license on it, software upgrades over the next decade. Is there a cost involved with software upgrades?
No, the firmware upgrades, okay. And it's all included, and, you know, it's a cloud subscription service. Okay. So.
You're speaking foreign language.
I will say what probably helps, the school system uses the same system, so the same company. I mean, it was part of a plan even I rolled out years ago, is how to merge the cities and the schools' cameras, at least have the same, because our dispatch watches schools' cameras or can access them in emergencies, things, and it was always they use one system, we use another. So part of this, and I think it really helps, the schools are buying this system, and so the company does provide good discounts, since it's essentially all of the largest entities of the governments in Clyde are on this system, and now it's just easier training, easier everything across the board, and it's just the same system. So everybody's familiar, able to access it. When there actually is incidents, we have to go and handle.
So you've been coordinating with Jordan, and the school system is going to be on board with the same, or you're hoping?
They've already had theirs.
Yeah, they're there to use for.
Yeah,
okay.
They rolled theirs out before us, but this is finally, you know, Community Park was a project I was trying to get to years ago, and these cameras came out and were way easier. So.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? And may I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-37?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye. Resolution 2026-37 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-38, creating the part-time administrative position of IT help desk technician, whereas added workloads necessitate the creation and setting of a salary for a new part-time administrative position within the city. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, the unclassified position of IT help desk technician is hereby established within the IT department with an hourly rate of $16.50. Section 3, any ordinances, resolutions, or contractual provisions inconsistent with this legislation are hereby repealed to the extent of any such inconsistency.
Okay, you've heard the reading of Resolution 2026-38. Comments?
I'll pass it back to Mr. Humberger again.
Well, last summer I had the help of an intern. She was very helpful in deploying the Verkada cameras. And having to take, not that it's a problem, having to take, you know, calls throughout the day, you know, my printer's not working, my account's locked out, you know, I need help on these small items, that's okay. But at the same time, it takes away from, you know, working on critical infrastructure upgrades, you know, network security, patching our systems. I've been working on getting rid of our previous IT director's work. He had written several programs that are
I call them legacy programs.
They're old.
Stuck in that too.
Cleaning up messes.
Yes.
Simple language here, okay?
Modernizing.
By today's standards, yes.
Yeah.
He's absolutely accurate. That is a mess.
Yeah, but, you know, I've had a lot of, you know, projects like that that I've been sinking my time into. So I just, it would be helpful to have some daytime support part-time, you know, to move those smaller items along.
And I will say, this is probably, I don't know if any of you are on council when we talked about this position a long time ago, because that is the biggest thing is we do have Aaron, as we're building buildings, he's got to sit down and look at plans, where are cameras, doors, what, how he's wiring things. So we do have him doing a lot of administrative and meetings, software, like what we're planning on for the future. And then you're, hey, my monitor won't turn on, you know, and there's some work that he goes from very high-end to very low-end. Cody, you know, you me have worked together for years in this context that you're in high-level management meetings and then you're unplugging and changing a power cord that could probably be done a little bit easier with somebody who's learning and growing in the IT space. So this is actually a years ago plan to try and get somebody help desk to really take the load off and be able to focus more on the high-end stuff.
And for every 50 to 100 users, you know, they suggest you have at least one IT person. And in CJIS regulated facilities, like our police department, they prefer to be on the lower end of that spectrum.
What's the current ratio?
One.
Yeah?
100.
Two? How many?
Huh? Oh, about 100 people.
Okay. All right. Questions, comments, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I get it. I think it's needed for sure. I've been there, lived that life.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
Define part-time.
to comply with ACI or ACA under 59.5.
30.
Yeah, under 30 hours
per
a week. Yeah.
Under 60 per payroll and not a minute over.
Frank, I have one question logistically about this. Do we want to make it, would this have an automatic step up or would we have to repass it in 10 years?
Because it's administrative, it would be on our legislation.
Just to be clear, it would go on our step up.
Yes, it is tied right now to the unskilled labor rate of the seasonal. So it is tied to an existing rate there.
I know you've tried to clean a lot of that up. That's just why I asked since it was standalone.
Yeah, so it'll be, assuming this passes next year on the legislative, like Mr. Brown's position is a part-time one, so it falls into those categories.
Perfect.
This wasn't asked for in the budget, though, in the fall. Was you anticipating that? Did we have a discussion on that? Because there were so many things, I don't remember everything it was asked about.
We did not.
And financially, where are we at on
this? With the IT help desk, IT is funded from the electric department. So, yes, we'll be okay.
And while the fund is down,
the fund is down. I'll give you explanation for that. But we are still very solid for a part-timer coming in unplanned.
Okay.
And if I could, I know I don't have to convince council, but yesterday we had a situation. Aaron was out on a call job, and what do you call that when we can't get internet?
Someone was quarantined.
There, and it was Patty at the front desk on due date.
Oh, geez.
So it, and no fault to Aaron, but it was about 2.5 hours before she could get unlocked. So to have a help desk would be extremely helpful, you know, such as on a day like that. When he can't be in the office because he's called out to the field. So just one small example.
Probably we can go from when I started. Mr. Browning and I know each other from IT many years ago. When I started as a consultant, Beck Suppliers had one person. That was terrible, but they didn't really. Then they hired two, and I think they're up to five. When they actually had a consultant come in and go, you need like five people. But you guys used to do it with two, and then my help here and there. I mean, and were we ever caught up? Or no, never. So
no fires nonstop.
There is no catching up. So this is one where somebody is available for those users.
And just so you know, the quarantine shuts down their internet, not just the program, the internet. So
and their phone.
And phone.
Yeah, you are quarantined.
Yeah, you are.
So, one, you almost want somebody quickly to be able to at least, if it's a problem, escalate it and find Aaron or get the problem resolved so they can get back to work quickly. So, but Aaron cannot be everywhere.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Then may I have a motion to adopt resolution 2026-38?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Okay, resolution 2026-38 has been adopted. You now have an assistant. Okay, that's it for legislation this evening. Administrative report.
All right, I got about 40 minutes. I'm totally kidding. Still working through lots of conversations, consultants, legal team, everything with the Evergreen closure and all of that nightmare. I know Jared was out with the EPA looking at the property and all kinds of things. They actually contacted us wanting to come on site. So I'm not sure if they're getting us to report some other stuff, and probably in his next report next month he'll have some more details on that. Just consuming a lot of time. Again, since we've had residential building codes as a conversation, we've also had a lot of communication and people reaching out about different things, and I've been showing developers and other people around town, buildings, different things, properties, land, facilitated a deal between two people that's moving forward. Hopefully we'll be able to announce here in the next couple of weeks, and there's some other good projects in the queue, so a lot of time spent on that. Neighbor and code enforcement issues are definitely in full swing. Would you agree with that, Jackie? Everyone's up, and it's been some funny and disappointing and all kinds of stories across the board. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Jared and I went to the first Sandusky County Housing Task Force meeting last week. Actually, the gentleman from Russell Real Estate was there as well, and a lot of different people, so it was a lot of good discussion and a lot of the same old of, how do you make something different, but we don't change anything? And what are we going to change? So that's all I have for tonight.
Well, that's the quickest 40 minutes I know of, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wiesner.
All right. You have your fund balances there in front of you, but I do want to bring your attention. Last year, water department was not broke financially. What that was there was grant money that had not been recorded yet for the raw waterline project. So obviously they did not, in essence, only have $187,000, but that got posted later. The electric fund, of course, we've talked about this for a couple months now, and it's not looking any prettier, but I just wanted to kind of go over again. Last month I had reported about the overall cost for the power. We're now at up over $2 million from last year for the first 3 months of what power cost us. So, and while our revenues are up, they're up very insignificantly compared to the cost. Also built in to this negative is $1.4 to $1.5 million owed us from Evergreen. So that plays a cost in it. We had some engineering costs, of course, like everything else, those are up. We had some small travel costs, but those are always more expensive. Everything is more expensive. And then, as I've reported, sounding like a broken record, I did have to correct some double postings from the year before. Now, taking a look, though, at the 5.2, that's a little more realistic. And when we did the budget, I just wanted to let you know, I did take the average of the years before. I did not set the budget based on any kind of inflated numbers. So I don't want that to be an alarm, like, you know, did you base the budget on $7 million more than we really have? I did not. That budget was based on a much smaller number. So while, yes, there is the difference from last year, we've all lived through, you know, all the stories, but things are getting rectified, and just the overall cost right there in those two alone is, you know, $3.5 to $4 million in cost and belly up company.
Yeah.
So
you can't prevent that.
No.
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 Okay.
So
any questions? Comments? Mr. Browning.
I just have a question on, not for Frank, but Justin. When you talked about the EPA looking in Evergreen, what are you actually expecting to find? What do you think at that property?
Theirs is part of also their discharge permits. I mean, their wastewater pretreatment system. This is where I was. Mr. Biggs was here, and I had a little more of the report. But they still are under the belief that Greenbridge and Evergreen are the same company, and that they're just bullshitting us. And they're like, well, if you're a different company, then you can't do this because you don't have a permit for it. So, you know, because they are permitted for their discharge and their pretreatment. And then, obviously, they took a look at the whole property as well. So, I don't know. I mean, they were not the most helpful, Mr. McCullough, you remember before. We reached out to use them, and they just kind of blew us off after a while, and they do that with economics. Apparently, they show up, though, when it's closed and nobody's getting any money, and it's not great economics. They're calling us and wanting to show up. So not fully sure. Jared has a better picture on it because he was the one out there with them, but they did take a lot of pictures, go through the plant, talk to some Green Ridge people. Nobody could get any answers, and nobody owns anything. So the whole thing is just a giant mess.
I do have one question, Frank. Once we, now that things are getting cleaned up and stuff, are we going to start seeing like a lot more detailed information with finances?
Yes,
because
we are.
This doesn't really give us a picture at all.
Right. And believe it or not, and we have talked about that before, Ms. Meek.
Yeah.
This is more information than they got 3 years ago. It's amazing. Yes, I am, believe it or not, I'm disclosing. So yes, we will. Once I know that I'm giving you the true, then yes, you will get, I think I did it at the end of the year for you, you will be getting a more detailed report. So
okay.
I have listened and I do understand to your question. And this month it would have been not
right.
cleaned up. So
right.
yes, ma'am,
okay.
that will be coming.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Just give me a little bit of time, but we're working. So,
perfect.
But yes, I've taken your request to heart, and it is truly, and I'll be honest, it would be much easier for me just to click two forms and it's done. So, but yes, I have.
Okay.
So, but thank you for asking about
mm-hmm.
that again.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments for Frank? All right. Before we move on then to council remarks and looking at setting an agenda or canceling the April 28th work session, is there a need for a work session? Mrs. Meek.
I have none.
Mr. Browning.
Amen.
Mr. Shea.
No, sir.
Not for myself.
I mean, you guys want to get started, or do you want to, for residential codes? I mean,
we get started.
All right. I would
I
like to have
a here. So you can get started without me.
Let me see. Let me look at calendars here and see what we got today.
Yep. Who are you hoping attends?
Because
if we're going to actually reach out to local builders.
Yeah, we probably need a little more time.
I don't think
so
we
I'm all right
to
skip
7 days at this time
ready.
Of year.
I'll just have some more exec sessions then or whatever. We'll be fine.
I'd give them 60 days or something to just say, hey, local builders, show up on a Tuesday night. I wouldn't do it now because you'd be calling them Wednesday and saying be there next Tuesday.
No, I wouldn't.
I know, I was kind of kidding, but like, yeah. I don't even know if I'd be thoroughly prepared. But
and I think we need to be thoroughly prepared. This is a little hot potato, okay? And that's probably the most consequential legislation since I've been here.
Oh, it's going to be a fun year of America's 250, too.
So, yeah. Okay, so there will not be a work session on the 28th. So let's go to remarks this evening. Mrs. Meek.
I have none.
Mr. Browning.
I have none.
Mr. Say.
I have none.
Well, of course I do. First thing, the Fireman's Chicken Barbecue is coming up this Sunday. Check with Paul if you know a fireman, $10 a ticket. They raise a significant amount of funds that fund a lot of things, you know, their equipment and things like that that the council doesn't have to fund. So support them, and it's $10 a ticket, and Paul may have some, or you may know somebody who does. My topic this evening is on e-bikes. This is a big issue with communities throughout Ohio. Many municipal governments right now are adopting legislation, trying to get ahead of it. I had a personal experience with it, two in the past 5 weeks. I witnessed a girl falling off of hers, hitting her head on the pavement, no helmet, serious head injuries, okay, sent to the hospital, brain bleed, all of these. And there's nothing more terrifying than holding a youngster, okay, who is knocked out cold but convulsing, okay, because you don't know what to do. And it takes, seems like EMS takes forever to get there, and I know they don't. She ended up being okay. And then a boy struck me, or I struck him, 2 weeks ago today, coming out.
You're going to want to say he struck you.
He struck me, yeah. Legal counsel. But doesn't belong on a sidewalk. You're coming out of a blind spot, and this kid's traveling however fast, and bang. And it's happening more and more and more. I talked with Mike Griffin, and they're throughout the park, just all over the place. There's three classifications for that. Ohio's revised code on it. I've read it. It's very gray. But communities are being proactive now and trying to do something about it. Yes, hard to believe, but I was that 13-year-old once and I first got my first motorbike. But I lived in the country. I could tear up anything I wanted. I could be wherever I wanted. There were no cars. But kids are getting these things. They're being given to them without any explanation of what road rules are. And I can't fault a child for that. You weren't born understanding road rules. That has to be explained to you. There needs to be a process of doing that. And I'm afraid that something more serious is going to happen. We may end up having a fatality at some point, okay? And to think that the parents are going to be responsible for that, hey, I'm a retired teacher, I know better, okay? I know that's not going to happen. And again, government has to step in and try to create rules to, you know, to rein in bad behavior, so to speak. But there are three classifications of these bikes. Class one, class two, under 20 miles an hour, pedal assist. Then you get into those are more powerful, up to 28 miles an hour, of which some modify. They have throttle cables. They're motorcycles. They don't belong on our sidewalks. They really don't belong on Main Street. A tractor, trailer, semi is not going to be able to stop in 1.5 seconds when one of those things pulls out in front of you. But we need to come up with something here. But it has to be enforced. So we put more of that on our enforcement officers to do something about it. You know, do we have something in it? Okay, you've had your warning. Now we're going to impound your bike. And it has to be substantial. Cities like Parma, New Albany, Bexley, White House, and a variety of others, they're getting ahead of it. They're trying to rein it in, but these bikes they're all over the place. You know, who's going to be in charge of educating this? It's certainly not our responsibility to educate youngsters when they're on these wonderful little go-fast machines. Fortunately, the one boy had a really nice high-end helmet on. That was helpful. But the ones I see are riding tandem. It shouldn't be. No helmet. Your head is no match for that pavement. I witnessed that. So we need to have a discussion on it, legislation at some point. I don't know where to go with it.
I mean, our legislation is when we find them on the sidewalks, we write tickets. I mean, we have it in there. You know, a juvenile under 13 can ride their bike on the sidewalk. Usually they're accompanied with parents, stuff like that. But, I mean, we do. You know, we obviously 2 to 3 officers on the road, you know, whizzing by your cops across town. I mean, trying to call and, like, find them to give them a ticket. But I know they, at least in that instance, the kid was, you know, the parents, I mean, they were charged because it's a violation of being on the sidewalk. I mean, so we have a mechanism in place, so to speak, whether it's E or in any bike, actually. We don't usually heavily do the standard bikes, but we've used that before in certain rules. So we're like, you're supposed to be in the road following road rules. I mean, so I know they've seen them blow through stop signs and addressed it before, then write a kid a ticket, like, hey, you got to follow this. But, yeah, they're on the sidewalk because they don't think they're supposed to be in the road when technically they're supposed to be in the road following the rules, just like any bicyclist. So I'm not sure. I've kind of taken a look at the code, so I have a few probably edits at most, but we don't even look at it like what type of classification right now. It's not supposed to be on the sidewalk at all in any context, really. So I'm not sure, but we'll probably have something just to make sure it's strong and gets a little better, but I'm going to look at what the other towns are doing and see. But it's probably just going to continue as an issue like anything. We put the law in place, and I mean, we're not educators, and you know, we've educated people before, and other people get new bikes, and you know, that education window is now passed, and you're just back to the same problem. So it's kind of just an enforcement and hope nobody gets killed. I mean, it's a sad, I'm just being blunt, that that's probably the best answer we're going to get. realistically, from an enforcement standpoint.
Yeah, we could pass a helmet requirement. We could get into that kind of stuff if you wanted. The issue you're going to have, in my opinion, is you're going to be you're either going to have to usurp the ORC definitions or you're going to have to stick to them. And sticking to them is a bit of a nightmare because a lot of it comes down to, like, power and stuff. And our cops don't have the ability to grab this bike and say, oh, this kid peeled his stickers off. He's probably on too powerful a bike. And then you get into, I mean, there's motors on everything now. So what do you want to regulate in terms of scooters, bikes?
Well, got older adults on motorized bicycles on the bike trail.
Yeah.
So we kind of go sidewalks, and yeah, if you're 20 miles an hour on the bike trail, they usually are like, hey. But, again, it's just catching it and seeing it. It's like speeding on Route 20. You're not supposed to do it, but how many tickets do we write versus how many people do you catch?
Well, I've experienced it, so it's worth a discussion. Yeah. And I know that Mike Griffin at the park is very frustrated because they're using it as a racetrack.
Well, and I want to say we can ban wherever we want from the parks.
Right, but how do we enforce it? That's the issue.
Well, we have these really cool Verkata cameras.
Yeah.
if I
have
may
great
add
facial recognition, and sure, I mean, it's very sophisticated.
I've been to more bicycle accidents in my 30 years than I can ever possibly remember. And with all due respect, Mr. McCauley, a lot of the complaints you have about the motorized bikes, for 30 years I've seen almost on a daily basis on regular bikes. Besides, maybe with the exception of the speed, every problem that you've elicited with the electric bikes have been an issue with regular bikes. And children riding regular bikes without helmets have just as much chance of brain injury and brain trauma than electrical bikes. So I don't know if the issue is just strictly with just electric or motorized bikes. It's just bicycles in general. And, man, as a government, I've learned over the last 4 years as government, man, there's just so much that we can do to regulate common sense, you know. And also we have such a hard time regulating what families and parents do. So much of this comes down to family training and stuff like that. And this is going to be difficult for me to say because I used to be a law enforcement officer, but enforcement is not as easy solution as a lot of people think it is. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So it was worth bringing up.
Yeah, it's a real problem. I mean, we address it. The cops all know. I mean, they do, but it is how to see it and find it. You know, we've got two guys on a road, or your back's turned, a guy goes whizzing past, you don't know where he went. I mean, it's like Chris said, and it's a real problem with real consequences that we've seen. You got hit. We've had kids wipe out in the park all over the place. I mean, you watched one. I mean, you're apparently the e-bike magnet in town, but...
I could
you know,
use a break.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is something that's terrible is going to happen. I mean, you can see it. They're all, you see less of the regular bicycles and more of the motorized ones going faster. So it's almost exacerbating the issue you've seen in your career, Chris, that it's that was bad enough, and now they're even going faster and running into stuff. And I don't know how we enforce it. I mean, it's short of 1984 on the cameras and we found you whizzing by on the sidewalk and ticket you later. You know, I mean, there's some sophisticated IT possibilities there, Aaron, and, you know, but they're not as easy as I say. But, you know, Paul and I took a bike ride down Route 20. I mean, you're supposed to ride these things, go in the roads and follow laws. You know, your arms out. I mean, they're all supposed to be there. They give you a manual when you buy these things that usually have follow road rules. You're agreeing to these things. And people just toss that right in the trash with the box, and kid goes out. And I watched my stepson get one years ago and just blow through every stop sign and everything. I'm like, kid's 14 years old, and apparently has never paid attention when we're driving in the car. And we had to have a nice talk about it. It fixed it from there. But, yeah, I just believe there is a tragedy coming. And that'll maybe change something, but I don't know.
it for remarks this evening. Any motions this evening, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None for myself. Okay, other than, may I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Roll call, please. I'll second that.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Okay, we are now adjourned.